If we could just open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verses 1 through 10. And while you look for that, I'm just going to pray. Lord God, I just thank you, Father God, for this privilege that you've given me, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you would just use me tonight, oh God. Lord, it is not me, but it's you in me, oh God. And I just pray, Father God, that you would help me to deliver the word that you've given me, Lord, the things that you're showing me right now, oh God. And I thank you and I praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And it says, since you have been raised to a new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. And so the reason why I chose this chapter is because this was me and many of us before we came to Christ. This is who we were. And before I came to the Lord, I started going to a church at a very young age. And so I did like the things of God. I loved coming to church. But when I came to this church, by the time I got to this church 23 years ago, I was 8 years old. I walked through these doors and I was very angry and bitter, and just I had so much hate in my heart because of the things that were going on. And as a child, I was being sexually abused. And so that made me so angry. And I hated everyone, especially myself, hated my abusers, hated my aunts and uncles for giving birth to those abusers. But when I started coming to church, I started learning what a sinner was. And I started seeing myself as a sinner. And they were telling me that if I didn't have, you know, Jesus in my heart, that I was going to a place where I was completely going to be separated from God. And as I started to learn about that, the reason why I came to the Lord was because of the fear of going to hell. I'm not going to lie. You know, there's some people that say that they came to God because, the whole story of Jesus. But that's not what I had learned at that point in time. I just was focusing so much in hell. And I was like, I don't want to go to hell. That was my biggest fear. But it was God's love that compelled me to stay and keep going forward. And so as I started to learn about God and learn about Jesus and the things that Jesus did for me, and that God had given his only son to die on a cross for me, that compelled me to know more about God, to fall in love with him more and more. And as I started to read the Bible and learn about God, he started stripping away the old man that was angry and bitter and hated everyone and hated myself. God started to show me something new, that I didn't have to be angry, that I didn't have to be bitter, that I didn't have to constantly curse all the time. And one of my biggest struggles actually was being in relationships. And so there were so many things that I had going on in my life. And I was like, God, I want to be different. And he started changing me and he started molding me. And as I started, when I went into the high school ministry, I got involved in the choir. I got involved in the praise and worship team. I was involved in the drama team. I was involved in everything. I would even come to the church to volunteer, and Pastor Patrick's assistant at the time, she was like my mentor, so I was constantly with her, and Pastor Patrick and I and Amy, we would go together and we would hand out tracts, and I loved those things. So I loved evangelizing even at a young age. I wanted everything of God, and it was just awesome. And then it got to the point where I was like, you know, when I grow up, I want to be Pastor Patrick's assistant. I want to work with the youth. That was my desire, you know, and these are the things that I I wanted. And it was because I was spending so much time with God. I was constantly praying, reading my word. There were times where my mom would come into my room at night and she would look at me and she would say, "You're glowing." And it was because I was constantly in the presence of God. I wanted everything that God had for me. And, you know, all the hatred and the bitterness that I had and all this other stuff, God started showing me how to forgive my abusers and how to forgive myself. And he did just such an amazing job in my life. But many of us know that when we come to Christ, we fall deeply in love with him. You know, there's like a zealous feeling that we have. We want to go out and witness to everyone. We want everybody to get saved. We want to tell everybody about Jesus. We get involved in all these ministries like I did. But then it got to a point where I was so involved that I thought that I didn't really have to pray. I didn't have to see God for myself. And so when I stopped praying, I started putting things before God. So it was ministry. I put ministry before him. Then I put friends. Then I put relationships. I got into a relationship. And before you knew it, I was struggling again. I was back at the same, like, struggling with my old nature, like having, our flesh is what always wants to do what God doesn't, what doesn't please God. And so when I stopped having communion with God, when I stopped praying, when I stopped reading my word, all of a sudden I found myself struggling again. And so shortly after that, my dad had started a church, and he asked me to leave Times Square Church and become his youth worker, to oversee his youth. And I didn't feel like I should have. I didn't feel like holy enough or whatever, but I knew that God was calling me. And so I decided to go. And because God put me in that position, now the only choice I had was to actually seek God for myself, because now I was in charge of these group of kids. And so again, I began to walk with the Lord again. I began to cry out to him, ask him to forgive me once again. And again, I started feeling that passion once again rise up inside of me. And God started to move in my heart. And you know, in the Bible, Jesus said, to the disciples in Mark chapter 14:38, Jesus said, "Keep watch and pray so you will not give into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And so that's where I found myself. I was so weak because I was going towards, you know, the things of the flesh. But then when I realized, okay, now I need to refocus again, because now I'm in charge of these kids. And so I started walking with the Lord again, and I started having all these passions for God again. And I started working at a pharmaceutical company. And in that pharmaceutical company, when I went in, I decided that I wasn't going to tell anybody that I was a Christian, that I wanted my life to speak something different. I wanted people to see that there was something different about me. And that's what I did. I went into that place, didn't say anything that I was a Christian. And that, at that time, I was really, you know, seeking God and praying. And shortly people started noticing there's something different about Luz Vet. She doesn't curse. She doesn't drink. She doesn't go out to the bars with us. She's constantly happy all the time. Like, there's something different about her. And so when they would ask me, like, "Why don't you curse?" And it was interesting, because when I would hang out with my friends, they would start cursing and they would apologize to me. And so they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry that I said that curse. Oh, I'm sorry." And I'm like, "Why do you keep saying that?" They're like, "I don't know. You just never curse. That's just weird. So we feel bad seeing curses around you." You know? So, and then I started just telling them, you know, it's because, you know, I'm a Christian and I live for God and I just don't do those things, you know? And so it got to a point when some of my friends would mock me and make fun of me. "Oh, the church girl." But then when they were going through something, they would run to the church girl. You know? So I was like, "You know what, God, I don't care what they could say whatever they want to say. You know, I'm here for this season." For some reason, I knew that I wasn't going to be there for a long time. I always knew that when I left that place, I was going to be in full-time ministry, because that was a desire that I had. And so I started a Bible study at my job. 12 of my coworkers got saved for the glory of God. Amen. And it was just because I decided that I wanted God. And when we start seeking God, we start getting his heart for this generation, for our coworkers, for our family. And I wanted to see my coworkers get saved. And so I started this Bible study. People were getting saved. And it was just awesome, you know. But in that time, I was in a relationship I was in a relationship for 5 years. I saw this guy every single day for 5 years. Every day. And so we ended up getting engaged. And like a month later, after our engagement, my dad told me, "You're not going to marry this man until I have a peace about it." And so now I'm the only child, and I was like freaking out. This is never going to, you don't want me to get married because I'm the only child and I'm your only baby. Nobody's ever good enough. I just went crazy, crying all the time. So dramatic. So dramatic. But because at that time I was still seeking God's face and I wanted God, I decided that I was going to go under authority and listen to my father, because my father's a praying man and he's my dad and I know he wants the best for me. And so I decided to begin to pray and see God in this area of my life. And like I said before, one of my biggest strongholds was relationship. I jumped from relationship to relationship. I was in love every year. Every year I was praying, "God, let this be the one," But here I am in this 5-year relationship with this man. And when my dad told me I need to pray, I decided, Okay, I'm going to submit to my father and I'm just going to pray about this. And so when I began to pray, the Lord started to speak to me. And he started showing me that the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, "Luzvet, you're not going to marry that man." It wasn't like, "I can't marry that man." It was literally, "Luzvet, you cannot marry that man. You will not marry that man." And so I decided that I would tell him. I didn't know why God was putting this on my heart. And so I remember the day like if it was yesterday. It was April 2nd, a rainy Saturday. I went to talk to, my fiance at the time. And I was like, "I don't know what it is, but God is telling me that I can't marry you." And he said, "Well, I'm glad the Lord's speaking to you, because for the past 6 months, I've been addicted to cocaine." And I was like, "What?" But now I had a choice. At that moment, I had a choice. I could have gone a different direction and said, "Well, I love you. We could work this out. I love you. Let me take you to a drug rehab program. Let me take you to Teen Challenge. I have connections, But I decided to put that thing to death, because I knew that God has spoke to me clearly. You are not to marry this man. And so there are times in our life where we put things before God. And it's so easy to get distracted, young people. It is so easy. And he was one of such a major distraction, and I didn't even realize it until I actually had to put that thing to death. And when I said, "Okay, well, I can no longer be with you. This is over," gave him my 1-carat diamond ring. I was like, "Take it back. I can't be with you." I did not have a friendship with that man. When you put something to death, you completely kill it. You can't be friends with it. You can't be friends with something God is telling you to let go completely. You can't fool around with it. You can't say, "Well, we'll be friends later." No. You have to completely put it to death. And that's what I decided to do. And a year later, he sent me a letter from jail telling me that he got locked up and he's been sentenced for 40 years in prison. Now, it's because I decided to obey God and listen to God that he freed me for that thing. Amen. And so shortly after, him and I broke up, that was in April. In August, I ended up coming back to Times Square Church and I got involved with the choir. And in December of that following year, I joined the youth ministry as a volunteer worker. In February, I was in the choir and Pastor Carter was preaching, and he was saying that he was praying that 100 young people would raise up and be the next leaders. And the Lord spoke to me that day. He said, "Luzvet, I'm calling you to full-time ministry and I'm calling you to preach." And at that point in time in my life, I was actually heading towards opening my own daycare. And so here was another road in my life where I was like, "Well, do I open up my own daycare or do I go to full-time ministry?" But when the Lord spoke to me, I said, "Yes, God, here I am. This is what I want. This has been my desire. And I want to live for you and I want everything that you have for me." And when I went to work that Monday, I started telling all my coworkers, "I'm going to Africa. I'm going to the mission field. I'm not going to be here anymore." I was like, I'm going to the mission field, you know? And God started birding me, birding in me a passion for the word, to get in the word. And I wanted to, see like as many coworkers as I had to get saved, because I knew that I wasn't going to be there much longer. And now I'm telling everybody about Jesus. I'm sharing my testimony with everyone, telling them about what God has done in my life. And when I, the day before I left that place, they had a little party for me, and all my coworkers started telling me, who's going to be the light in this place? Who's going to tell us about Jesus? And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's been my ministry for 4 years. The 4 years that I've been here, this has been my mission field, and I didn't realize it, you know? And so I decided that, I was going to keep in touch with them, and I did for a while. And I started working here 6 years ago to this day. Today's my 6 year anniversary. So that's why I picked this day to preach, because this is my 6 year anniversary. And so I have just seen the power and the hands of God in my life and all the things that he has done for me. But I've, in my walk, in my times with God, like every time that I have fallen short, because we all fall short, or the times that I have struggled, is because I stopped spending time with God. Many times what happens is we start putting things before God. We put our friends, our relationships, our studies, our work. There's so many things that come before our communion with God, and it can't be that way. We wonder why we struggle, and it's because we're not spending time with God. We wonder why we can't hear God, and it's because we're not spending time with him. You know, and I was like, God, I don't want to be a Christian that goes, knows about you and doesn't give my whole entire life for you. I want everything that you have for me. And, it says in this scripture that we need to set our eyes on the things of heaven. This world is not our own. We don't live here. We don't belong here. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is not your home. We're only here for a short period of time. It's so short, 80 years if we get to live that long, because tomorrow's not even promised to us. And so we need to be in our word. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face for this generation. Just last month, we had a crazy man go into a movie theater and kill so many young people. That could have been our friends. That could have been our family. That could have been us. Just when that day happened, I was at the bus stop, and I got in the bus, and there was this girl who sat next to me, and she was just telling me, and she goes to me, are you going to go see Batman? Because, everything that's going on, I'm afraid, I don't want to die. And I was like, yeah, I'm not afraid of that. And she's like, what, you're not? I was like, no, I'm not afraid of dying. I could have a heart attack right now. I could get shot. I could not wake up in the morning, but I know where I'm going. See, that's the security that I have in Christ. And so I just began to talk to her and tell her, I'm not afraid of death. Now, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then yeah, you should be afraid, because the whole reason why he came down was to die for us, and so we could be resurrected with him, so like that we won't have, be separated from him. And as I'm talking to her, her eyes are getting watery, and she's like, I used to go to church, but I haven't been to church since I was like 15. There were so many rules and there were so many things that I just didn't agree with. But she's like, but I'm afraid of death, and I need to know about God. I need to get right with God. And so I invited her to Times Square Church, and she's been to 3 services already. Amen. And, God, when you're seeking God and you're spending time with him, you start having his desires, like I said. You start wanting to witness to people. You want to see people's lives changed. We might not be able to see the world change, but we can see somebody's world change. You know what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? We cannot see the world change, but we can see somebody's world change for themselves. God, that's what God did for me. He changed my entire world. He changed the way I see things. He changed the way I think about things. The way I used to think before, I no longer think that way. When I used to think about my abusers, I hated them. I wanted to see them dead. Let me tell you how messed up I was. I was so angry and bitter that one time I actually tried to kill my aunt. 9 years old, I thought that baking soda was poison, and I put it in her drink to see her dead because her son was abusing me. That's how messed up I was. But Jesus came and changed the way I thought. He started showing me that my abusers were sinners, that they were lost without him, and that I needed to pray for them. And so I began to pray for them, and I've seen six of them get saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Young people, if you're struggling tonight, if you know Jesus, you've walked with God, you were walking with him, you were just so in love with him at one point, and now you find yourself wavering and struggling, it's time to come back tonight. It's time to get back to that stream, that flow. It's time for you to have those desires that you once had for God. It's time for you to get that passion that you once had for Jesus. You know, when I think about Jesus and the things that he's done for my life, this perfect man, this pure man that came from heaven, and I think about the stress that he went through when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he started bleeding sweat. I've been stressed out, but I've never had to bleed sweat. But this man was bleeding sweat for me because he knew the separation that it was going to happen. And when he was beaten and his beard was torn from his face and they blindfolded him and started punching him and saying, "Prophesy, who hit you?" and mocking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He did that for you and he did that for me. And this is why we're Christians. This is why we serve God, because of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God that Jesus wasn't too busy. I thank God that he wasn't too busy to die on a cross for me. That he wasn't ashamed when he was ridiculed and spat at. He wasn't ashamed. Hallelujah. But we're ashamed. Why? When this is not our world. When our friends didn't die for us. When our friends are not going to die for us. When our friends can't give us salvation. When our friends can't give us what God can give us. If we just go in, we got to go deeper. We whatever we want from God, he will give it to us if we're seeking him. Whatever level you want to go with God, he will bring you there, but you have to seek him. A lot of times, you know, we start putting stuff before God and we don't even realize that we're building an altar and we're worshiping it and we're no longer worshiping God. But tonight it's time to tear down those altars. It's time to get our minds fixed on Christ, on heavenly places, that we are seated by Christ in heavenly places. That's what the word of God says, that we're seated in heavenly places with Jesus. And that same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the power that God has given us. And we need to walk in that power. We need to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we don't have to live by what the flesh is telling me to do. No, we can live by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is more powerful than this flesh. The Spirit of God is powerful than this world. The Spirit of God is powerful than what the enemy says, what the devil says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just want to remind you tonight that Jesus, the God that we're spending time with, the God that loves us so much, he's a God that never changes. While your friends change, he doesn't change. While your status changes, he doesn't change. He remains the same. While your boyfriends and girlfriends come in and out, he's still there waiting for you. Hallelujah. You need wisdom tonight? He will give you that wisdom, because he is wisdom. You don't know how to get out of a situation? Go to God. You need knowledge? Go to God. God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. You know, right now, as I stand before you, my blood pressure is 180 over 110, which is, I'm about to have a heart attack according to the doctors. I'm going to have a stroke. But God is in control. God is in control. Hallelujah. I wasn't here yesterday, but I'm here today. And I give God all the glory, because he's a good God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that longs after you. He's a jealous God. The God that created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, every animal, everyone. God, that same God wants to spend time with you. That God misses you when you don't spend time with him. He is a holy God. You know what sin does sometimes when we start playing around with sin? We start becoming in agreement with those things that we're doing. We think that if we fool around with sin, like, well, I have this under control. I can handle this. I can handle this. But it can take you to a place where you would have never thought it can take you. It can take you to a place where you look back and you're like, wow, I did all of that. But God is merciful and he is gracious and he's here tonight and he wants you to have a renewed mind. The way you used to think, you don't have to think that way anymore. If you want your passions to be renewed for God, He will give you those passions again. If, you know, even with me, like, the Lord gave me the desire to work for Pastor Patrick when I was 15 years old. But when I was 5 years old, that was when I started going to church. When I saw my pastor preaching, I wanted to preach. And so I had like this little black pulpit in my house, and I would get up on the pulpit with my Spanish Bible, scribble on a piece of paper, and I would preach to my mop and my broom. But God saw that, and He took me through a journey, and it's been an amazing journey. It's been an amazing, amazing journey, and that's why I'm so passionate about God, because God is so real. Nobody can tell me that God isn't real, because He saved me from suicide. He saved me from killing myself. Hallelujah. I've seen how God has transformed my heart and my mind, and all I want is God. All I want is God. All I want is God. All I want is His will. All I want is His heart for this generation. You know, as we're going back to school, you can be a light in that dark place. You can ask God for a boldness to stand, to speak out and speak about Jesus. You don't know who's listening. People want to know. When I worked in that pharmaceutical company, I started opening my mouth. I was shocked because people were getting saved. And even right now, as I'm struggling with my health, one of the things that I told God was, God, I don't want to die without You using me to the fullest. I want everything that You have for me. And in the past 14 months, I give God all the glory, because this is not me, but I've been able to lead one person to the Lord every single month. While the enemy told me that I would no longer be able to be used, that I was going to die, and all these lies, God said, no, I still have a plan and a purpose for your life. And so I tell you tonight that whatever lie the enemy has been telling you, whatever sin the enemy has been telling you and saying you've gone too far, Jesus says, no, there's no depth of His love. He can take you wherever you are right now and pick you up. And tonight is the night to get up and keep going with God. If you fell, get up and keep going with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come. And that's just really what I want to leave with you guys, that this world is not our own. We don't belong here. This is not our home. We're not going to be here for a long period of time. So we need to set our minds on heavenly things. We need to remember that God is the one that we're living for, that Jesus lives in us, and He's at the right hand of God, and He's interceding for us, and that we could live a life set free from everything. We don't have to submit to this flesh. We can live according to the Spirit. It's possible. You know, that's why I love reading the Bible, because I read about the men and women of faith and all the things that they went through and how they made it through. And then even in our generation, we had a man, Pastor David Wilkerson, and we saw how God used this man. And because of him, we're here today, because one man decided to obey God. And all we have to do is obey. I know a lot of times I hear people tell, oh, pray for me, you know, pray for me. I'm praying, but sometimes you need to obey. Sometimes you just need to walk it. Amen? And so I just want to, you know, just thank you for just listening to what I had to say. And I just pray that tonight you really do decide to go all the way with God. God will give you whatever it is that you need. He will deposit strength, love, patience, whatever it is that you need, it's found in God. All you have to do is surrender. Whatever it is, just surrender it to the Lord. Amen.
Folks, the Lord has spoken. I don't have anything to add to that. Get up. Let's stand up. Just get up and get to the altar. I'm not going to candy coat it, sugar coat it. It's plain and simple. You say, Pastor, I've heard from the Lord tonight. I sense His drawing, His wooing. Just get out of your seat and just come to the front. Just respond to the Lord tonight. Folks, I'm at the altar. Every time a message is preached here, I'm at the altar. It doesn't matter who preaches it. I'm at the altar saying, God, would You do something in me that's of eternal weight and glory? These moments are life-changing moments. That's why I'm here today, folks, doing what God called me to do. Just because every time the Lord spoke, I said yes. I just kept saying yes, yes, yes. And there were times when my flesh didn't want to say yes, but and sometimes I even said no, but later on I'd end up saying yes anyway, because in my heart I wanted to glorify the Lord. I wanted to please God like we heard tonight. I wanted to go all the way with him. Hallelujah. If you're hurting tonight, you've come in here burdened down, and maybe you've not understood everything that took place tonight, but you say, Pastor, I'm hurting. I need God. I need the Lord. Lizette talked about the abuse that she went through and how God saw her through that. He's going to see you through tonight. If you've come in here burdened down, he wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you from that pain, from the tormenting memories of failure and struggles and battles and the things that tragic things that taken place in your life that may have defined you till now. But God's going to redefine who you are. He's going to recreate you in his image. Hallelujah. We're going to sing and worship, and then we're going to pray in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. How many of you are here? Have you never been to an altar like this, and you're saying, I'm giving my life to Christ for the first time? Would you raise your hand? You're giving your life. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Going to pray with you and just repeat after me. Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that you came to save me and to set me free. And in return, I give you my life. I give you my all, my heart, my mind, and I pray that as I walk with you, I continue to fall in love with you each and every day. I pray that you will teach me your ways. Thank you for renewing my mind, my heart. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. And today I know that I'm going to be with you one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And if you're here in this altar tonight and you're saying, God, I want your heart again. I want a passion for you once again. I'm going to pray with you. God is going to give you that passion. God is, those promises that he gave you, they're going to be fulfilled. That desire that you once had, he's going to give you that desire, and you're going to see God through it. And when you find yourself again in that place where you're starting to waver, remember to go back to your prayer closet. Get back into your prayer closet. Open the word. Read about the men and women of faith. Read about the power of Christ and that you're able to live this life because Christ lives in you. And if you need accountability, get accountable with somebody. If you need to break off relationships, do it because Jesus is worthy and your relationship with God is more important. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, for what you've done in this place tonight, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that all power is in your hand, Jesus. And the same power that resurrected you from the dead lives within us, oh God. And that we are able to live this life, oh God. That we're able to live in power, oh God. Lord, I pray that tonight you will give us a new mind, oh God. Lord, that you will transform the way we think, oh God. That we would be able to see ourselves with you one day, Jesus. Lord, because that is what your word says, that we're going to be with you, oh God. And I pray that you would give us a burden for the lost, oh God. Lord, that you would give us a burden, oh God. Lord Jesus, a boldness to stand, oh God, in our workplaces, oh God, in our schools, in our community, oh God, that we would be a light in the midst of this darkness, oh God, that each and every day we would be reminded of your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness and your love, that you wake us up in the morning, oh God. Lord, I pray that we would give our mornings to you, oh God, and throughout the day we would meditate on your word. Word, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place tonight, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that chains are broken tonight, that they're severed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, hallelujah, that addictions that are broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you that our mindsets are free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do in this place, oh God. And we wait, oh God, to hear the testimonies, oh God, of the things that you're going to do in our lives, oh God, of the people that are going to be saved, oh God, Lord, that we are a testimony of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would remember that when we go out into the streets, that we would remember that we represent Christ, oh God. And I thank you for what you're going to do in each and every one of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.